There's a new book out. It's called 25 Lies, Exposing Democrats' Most Dangerous, Seductive, Damnable, Destructive Lies, and How to Refute Them. The author is Vince Everett Ellison. He joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Vince, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, Jerry, thank you so much for having me. I'm truly blessed. Thank you.
Sure. Here's a quote from the book. You say, the absence of a father's discipline, the assaults on Christianity and Christian education, the corruption of the arts through music, movies, porn, and video games had created a generation of monsters. But to what end? Power. These men were collateral damage in a war to subvert, monetize, and control the black vote in the black community. To win elections in America, Democrats need 90% of the black vote. To accomplish this heresy, they must enslave blacks again. And you write all these things as a black man in your book, 25 Lies. Tell us all about this book and this concept that I just, even that quote that I just read.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. You and I both know good people that are in the Democrat Party, and I'm sure that we've talked to them and tried to figure out why they are so enamored and so dedicated to the Democratic Party after all the terrible things they've done. And I've just discovered that the Democrats are very prolific at lying. They're so good at it that when I bring these lies up to my friends on the Democrat side, they refuse to believe them. They refuse to believe things like the Democrats support partial birth abortion, that they support basically castrating little boys, trying to make little girls out of them and using government money to do it. They refuse to believe that the Democrats have opened up dope houses and they call them injection centers in New York and in Philadelphia so people can go and use drugs, basically just government run crack houses. So I decided to write a list of the Democrat Party lies down and help them and show them these lies and teach people how to refute these lies to their friends, because they're not after me. They're not going to get me. They're after my children. They're after my friends. They're after my grandchildren. So I wrote this book to help good people, good Christian conservative people go out there and refute these lies to their friends and to their families, so that they can cross over and do like Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln did and go free a few of them. Hmm. You know, the Democrats, they try to put stumbling blocks in our way to keep us from helping out these people, same way they did the freedom fighters and the abolitionists back before the Civil War. They put stumbling blocks in their way. They lied on them. They tried to put false propaganda on them, telling people these people are horrible and da-da-da-da. So I wrote this book as a pamphlet and as a weapon to help conservatives to go out there and educate their family, their friends, their grandchildren about the lies that the Democrat Party tells.
Okay, and we'll highlight a few of these lies. Okay, so here's one. The Democrat Party wants to stop segregation. Your comments.
Yeah, when you look at the Black Caucus, for instance, all of these people are members of majority black districts. And when it comes time to redistrict, oh, you want to talk about people that fight to keep these districts segregated and keep them gerrymandered to be majority black. It is the Black Caucus. They do not want these districts segregated because if they get more white people in these districts, they probably will not win. Also, when you look at historically black colleges and universities, they're the ones that are always talking for more funding to keep these black colleges going and keep them segregated, keep them what they call chocolate city and all this type of thing. When you talk about this word they use called gentrification, where they don't want white people coming into black cities, black neighborhoods, and putting up businesses and buying homes and buying property. I mean, this is actually part of the black of their vernacular. We don't want gentrification. That means we don't want white people. We want to remain segregated. When you look at the black schools, when they fight against school choice, it's because they want to keep the segregated black school system where they control the teachers, where they control the terrible education, where they control who gets what. They fight for segregation. They do not want integration. And when they say it, they are liars. Their whole system of is based upon black segregation.
You know what's interesting? I think the whole thing, the whole key to all this boils down to that one word that you have on page 5 of that of your book, 25 Lies, the quote that I said earlier, and that one word is power. It's all about power, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it's all about power. All of it. Even when they try to talk about they're for LGBTQ, they're not concerned about these people. They found another minority that they can manipulate and use them as cannon fodder for their cause. They use their pain for their gain. So they tell these people that if you give us money, if you vote for us, we will make your lives better. But just like the black community, they hadn't made our lives better. The black community has made their lives better by voting them into office. And every year they say, well, we'll do better next time, we'll do better next time. This is terrible. The black family has been destroyed. 10 times more black men in jail. You see the crime is rampant in all of these ghettos. You see that the black economy is gone. Nevertheless, they ask to be reelected. Now, why? Because it's about them. It's about the power. It's about the white elites in the Democratic Party and the black elites in the Democratic Party. And just like the old Confederacy, they care nothing about these people getting blown up and getting killed as long as they keep their power. And they lie to get it. I found out when I started doing this book, I started researching and found out something that really astonished me. And this is when I found that the Democratic Party was evil. The Nazis actually came over in the 1920s and consulted with the Democratic parties on making the Nuremberg Laws, because the Democratic Party had done the same thing to black people down south that they were trying to do to the Jews in Germany. And they actually consulted with the Democrat Party and said, how did you make black people second-class citizens? We want to do the same thing to the Jews. And the Democrats told them, first you got to find out a way to determine what a Jew is. The way we determine what a black person is if he has one drop of black blood, that makes him black. And then we can separate him, and then we can do anything we want to him. And the Nazis actually told the Democrats that this was too racist for them. So the Nazis, instead of using one drop of blood, said, we're going to use just one Jewish grandparent. And that's how they determined what a Jew was. And they started, and then they said, we're going to do like you guys do. We're going to segregate them. Then we're going to isolate them. And then we're going to control who gets what. And then we're going to start, and then we're going to destroy ours. And this is a true story. So I asked the question, if the Nazi Party is evil, why isn't the Democrat Party evil? Because the Democrats are doing the same thing the Nazis have been doing. Matter of fact, they've expanded their ability to kill people here in America. For instance, they have abortion clinics all in the black community, and they kill close to 1 million black babies a year. They weren't killing that many black people back during slavery and during Jim Crow, but they are now. They set up a prison industrial complex that once a man gets a certain age, half of them go to jail. And then they set up a school system that if you're not aborted, if you go to the school, you have a 50% chance of not graduating. So they set up a system where they are just grinding black America down, and we are just basically a science test, because now they're coming after white America. And this is where critical race theory comes in. Critical race theory is just something they're going to use to make white children hate themselves as much as black children. They want to make the white community hate themselves like they taught the black community to hate themselves. And that's all critical race theory and systemic racism is. It is designed to make white people look in the mirror and hate what they see. And if y'all start doing that, you'll start killing yourselves in the same numbers that black people are doing it right now.
Huh. Well, you know, the key to everything, to fighting all these bad things, is the family. And I think because the family, the urban family, has been so destroyed, and frankly, it's because of the welfare state made so many things so bad, because essentially what it did was it rewarded promiscuity. It subsidized, having babies out of wedlock, et cetera, and it broke the back of the urban family, and that's where all these pathologies come from, is the broken family, don't you think?
Yes, and it was intentional. This is a true story. In my first book, Iron Triangle, I wrote about this. Patrick Moynihan, You've heard about the Moynihan Report.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He did the Moynihan Report. He bought the LBJ. And basically it said that we're going to have to put the black man back in charge of his family in order to stop the black family from being destroyed in this nation. LBJ said, take this to the civil rights community, see what they say. In his book about Martin Luther King, David Garrow said that Patrick Moynihan took this Moynihan report to Martin Luther King Jr., civil rights community, and made George Bundy report it. That it was a wonder that Moynihan got out of that room alive. He said that they turned on him. They accused him of all sorts of racism. The feminists in the movement went crazy by saying that you're going to put the black man back in charge of the family. We won't allow it. The civil rights movement turned against the Moynihan Report. And what came out of it was something completely different. It was called the Man Out Clause, where you could get welfare only if the man was out of the house. If he was in the house, you got nothing. In one generation, the black community went from having 70% of its children being born to two-parent families to 70% being born out of wedlock, because the civil rights movement and Martin Luther King, they demanded that the man be out of the house before these young women got any help. That is a true story.
Well, again, the pathology all gets back to the breakdown of the family. What about, here's another one of the lies you mentioned, reparations are good.
Oh, yeah, that's completely ridiculous. As a matter of fact, it's all a canard. It's Lucy moving the football on Charlie Brown. They will never get reparations. It's not going. It doesn't go to the courts. It must go through the Congress, and it must go through the Senate and signed by the president. When Barack Obama was president and they had a filibuster-proof majority, they didn't even bring it up. Also, according to Bob Johnson, the country owes black people $16 trillion in reparations. Now, that's close to our national GDP. There's another study that says they owe the black Americans $54 trillion. Now, that's interesting because there's only $34 trillion in the whole world. Here's the thing. They will never be satisfied, ever, no matter what you do, no matter what you give them. They put up the King Monument, gave a King holiday, took down the Confederate statues, and they killed more black people last year than they ever did in American history. All of this is surface stuff. The only thing that will get us back to where we're supposed to be is that when we all decide that we are going to practice our religion, which mine is Christianity, get yourself a trade where you are so good at it that you will never, ever be hungry, and then arm yourself with knowledge for the wise man and a gun for the fool, and walk as a proud man in America and not be concerned about what somebody else thinks about you. The civil rights movement turned black people into a generation of stalkers, going up to the window of white America begging to get in. And nobody loves a stalker. They can only be pitied. This is a Jesse Smollett syndrome, where they are concocting and making up beatings from white men because they know this is where you get your attention in America, where they walk around as fearful cowards, refusing to be free, not understanding that if you are weak, it invites bullies and it invites violence. Christianity was nonviolence was never a Christian virtue. Non-aggression is a Christian virtue. There is no virtue in you and I walking down the street seeing a young lady getting raped, and you and I say, we're two Christian men, so we're not going to engage. No, we have to go and we have to assist her. And when the guy stops fighting, we stop whooping it. There's no virtue in you and I walking down the street and seeing a young girl, a baby getting abducted, and we not go to that child's defense.
The lie
that Christianity is nonviolence is a lie, and it turns so many young people from it because they refuse to be part of a religion that said they had to get their butt kicked.
Okay,
and it was a lie.
We're basically out of time. Is there a website for the book?
Vince E. Ellison, three E's in the middle, VinceEEllison.com. Please support this book because it tells the truth. It'll help your listeners arm themselves against the Democratic Party, but also defend themselves when people ask, why are you a conservative? Why are you a Christian? It'll help them save their grandchildren who are being bombarded by the left. And when they call them racist, you can use my face as a black man to say they're liars. They are not.
Okay.
The white Christian conservative is not your enemy. Actually, he's the best friend we have.
VinceEEllison.com. Thank you so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you for having me.